Omicron just got dunked, kind of like a 7-foot NBA star smacks a basketball through the hoop. Today, we're going to look at how only the elite can use the latest miracle cure while the masses are left with vax mandates alone. That's next. Hey, welcome back to the Barry Farah Show. I'm really glad you're here, and I hope you're doing really well. Omicron just got dunked. It's a basketball term used to describe an indisputable score. Omicron lost, and this miracle cure won. Now, about a quarter of you have already had Omicron. That's according to the CDC statistics. And according to the CDC and their mirror disease control governmental departments around the world, if you haven't gotten it, you will probably get Omicron very soon, regardless of whether or not you've been vaccinated. And if you aggregate the reports from Denmark, Israel, the United Kingdom, and the US of A, if you were previously infected and you get Omicron, you're going to likely recover in about 5 days on average. And if you had a vaccine and a booster shot, you'll have a nearly equal chance of getting Omicron, and you'll recover from it in about the same amount of time, with about the same degree of symptoms on average. Now, you've probably already zoned out, and I can't blame you for that. There are so many confusing things on COVID, and you probably just want to move on with your life and forget about this whole conversation. But if you live in a free state, you've probably already done that. You've probably already moved on. Regardless, there's really an important freedom discussion here, and I don't think we should let it slip by. So today, I'm going to look at this through the lens of a pro-vax academic scholar. She was able to tap into a miracle cure that beat back Omicron for her. Her name's Sally Satel. She's a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. AEI is a think tank. I've been a donor to AEI, and I even participated and won this speaking contest at their headquarters in DC a few years back. I don't know Sally, but I am a friend to the organization. I don't always agree with them, but I read their thoughtful articles. They're good. Sally is a visiting professor, and she's from the psychiatry department of Columbia University School of Physicians and Surgeons. So she writes about the forgotten immunocompromised. She's got the authority to do that since she's among them. She's an organ transplant recipient. Now, Sally had a really difficult decision to make when the vaccines came out. They don't really work for more than half of organ transplant recipients, and there's data to support that. The problem is that the medications that she takes to keep her organ healthy can also suppress her antibody-producing cells. Yet she's a rule follower, and she believes in the vaccines, and she thinks they're effective overall, and she took both the first and the second dose of a vaccine. Now, she's regularly tested on a whole bunch of issues because of her condition, and this was certainly no exception. So even though she took both doses of the vaccine, her tests revealed that her body didn't produce any detectable antibodies. So now what should she do? Should she take the booster? You'd think that she'd be kind of done with the vaccine since it didn't help the first two times around, but she believes in the vaccine in general, and she got the vaccine booster. Her logic was that she thought the vaccine booster would strengthen her T-cell mediated immunity. So in spite of her vulnerabilities as an organ donor recipient, she loves freedom enough that she decided to live as normally as she could. She writes that she wasn't reckless at all, not by any means, but she just tried to live in a more or less free manner. At the same time, she's a rule follower. So there's no real benefit to wearing a mask, according to NIH, CDC, and dozens of studies from around the world, but she wore a mask. And consistent with good practices that actually do help, she was diligent with things like hygiene. And she believed that the vaccine would reduce the chances of her getting the virus. And she thought at the time that being near only the vaccinated would mitigate her risk even further. So she only socialized with people who were vaccinated. Now, Sally could have chosen to stay close to home and live in isolation. She writes that others with her condition have done that, and they do it very rationally. I mean, people with her condition are more vulnerable to getting COVID in the first place. And if they do get it, they're much more likely to have a severe reaction, a severe symptom, up to and including fatality. But she wanted some normalcy too. So to celebrate her birthday, she jumped on an Amtrak train from her home in Washington, D.C. and went up to New York City. And you guessed it, she got COVID. Now, my opinion of AEI scholars, I think it's fair, is that they're thoughtful. They're good people who lean center-right on freedom issues. But they're very much part of the credentialed establishment. They have higher education from elite schools and from around the world, really. And they mingle with others who have the same pedigree. And they're scholars. They're not entrepreneurs. They're not salesmen. They're not truck drivers. They're not electricians. They're not cabinet workers. They're not software engineers. They're not executives. They're not farmers. They're not small business owners. They're scholars. Now, sometimes scholars, and I lived with one, my dad was one, don't always have a ready handle on common sense issues. But Sally sure did in this case. And it stands to reason. When she got COVID, she says that her throat was on fire. The way she describes it, she felt as if she were gagging on a molten lump. That sounds terrible. And it is serious. Regardless of her being thrice vaccinated three times, she is immunocompromised. So forget the rules. If she doesn't get help right away, and I mean fast, this could become fatal. So she took advantage of her connections. She talked to her doctor. The doctor put her in contact with a clinic in Baltimore that would get her taken care of. What would they get her taken care of with? An effective monoclonal. Now, it's very limited in its availability, but it's very effective. Now, keep in mind that a monoclonal has been around in various forms for quite some time, and it was proven very effective against COVID and Delta, the Delta variant. However, 4 out of 5 of the makers of monoclonals don't make much of a dent in Omicron. I can't tell whether it's supposed to be Omicron or Omicron, but let's call it Omicron. I asked my doctor if any of those monoclonals now work on Omicron. And he said that GlaxoSmithKline's is the only one that works well against it. And sure enough, that's what all the publicly available research shows too. Now, many people were helped by Eli Lilly's and Regeneron's monoclonal. In fact, the previous POTUS got over COVID really fast with Regeneron. That's how he recovered so fast back in December of 2020. But Omicron's tricky. It has 37 mutations. Only Glaxo's sotrovimab is effective against all 37 mutations in the spike protein of Omicron. That's the part of the virus that binds to the cells in our body. So what's this monoclonal that's called sotrovimab actually do? Well, according to their chief scientific officer, Hal Barons, sotrovimab clones the white blood cells from those who have recovered from COVID. That's right. It borrows from those who have natural immunity, and it infuses your body with a mirror image of those white blood cells. Those cloned white blood cells then latch on to the spike protein, and that prevents them from replicating. It's really pretty amazing, quite remarkable. A miracle drug, no doubt. So this treatment gets put into your body intravenously. So it impacts your whole body almost right away. And the treatment lingers in your lungs. Now, that's good. What's it doing in your lungs? Well, it's hanging out in your lungs to fight off the coronavirus and any lingering effect of it. So one treatment, and you fight off all the mutations of Omicron and some of the long COVID in one fell swoop. Pretty great. Now, Eli Lilly's and Regeneron's monoclonal were originally effective against Delta, but they're just not hitting Omicron. So we asked, why not? We looked it up. Well, according to Fred Hutchison from the University of Washington, those monoclonals are too targeted. They handled the original virus and Delta quite well, but the mutations avoid those monoclonals' ability to attach to the virus and keep it from replicating. And the reason for that is it doesn't clone the white blood cell quite as well. It doesn't clone natural immunity as well as GlaxoSmithKline's product does. So anyway, back to Sally. She's smart enough to know that you go with what works. And her doctor had the same information about Omicron and GlaxoSmithKline's capability to take care of it. So let's go and use sotrovimab and get that in your system now. So he set her up with a clinic in Baltimore, and that would give her that monoclonal. She zipped down to Baltimore, and there she was, getting treatment, 30 minutes of intravenous infusion of Sotrovimab, Glaxo's monoclonal treatment. This was something that was approved by the FDA for emergency use. And that was way back in May. It's really designed and held back for the 7 million immunocompromised people, people that are or that have cancer or some kind of a disease that makes it impossible for them to take, have the vaccine. So it's reserved for those who are, here's the quote, at high risk of progression to severe COVID-19, including hospitalization or death. So people that have a high risk, high comorbidity, that type of deal. And of course, Sally qualified. She's an organ transplant recipient. So she got this 30-minute procedure. Here's what's amazing. She felt better in one day. Her throat was no longer on fire. And we're very happy for Sally, and we're glad she's doing well. Here's what's amazing. After her one dose, in just 5 days, she tested negative, 9 days after being exposed. But Omicron is slippery. It isn't as severe as Delta, but it's got 37 mutations, and it's got a way of causing reinfection. The monoclonal Sotrovimab that she took is likely to prevent a resurrection of reinfection. And so it's probably going to last for 6 months. Now, fortunately for her, she's in a very elite group. She was able to tap into first-rate medical care. But we spent trillions, if you include the stimulus packages, on COVID and fighting it off. So why is this monoclonal rare? Why is it only used by the elite? The problem is there are shortages of this Sotrovimab due to deliberate actions and inactions taken by the U.S. government. Sally's argument, and it's understandable, is that the immunocompromised should not be forgotten. And that's a good point. She mentions this other drug that prevents people from getting COVID. It's called Evusheld. It was just authorized by the FDA in December of 2021. Evusheld requires two jabs, and it gives protection from getting the virus for really up to 6 months. And it's great for those who have an allergic reaction to the vaccine or they're immunocompromised, but it should also be an option. But it's not. It's only for those who are qualified. It has some of the same adverse reaction issues as the vaccine, but not as severe, it seems. However, we just don't really have enough sample size to get you a definitive answer, but it seems like it's less on the adverse reactions. It shows a lot of promise, and there are shortages of it as well. So Sally's goal is to encourage more availability for the immunocompromised. According to GlaxoSmithKline, more of the monoclonal could be easily made available right now. The government could buy more. The government just hasn't done so. And according to AstraZeneca, more Evusheld is available too. In fact, they hold inventory right now of finished product that exceeds their near-term forecasted demand. But the U.S. government only bought a fraction of what it could buy and what it should buy and what we need. Sally argues on behalf of the immunocompromised, and she's heartbroken over the many who did not have the capability to tap into the priceless treatment that she was able to benefit from. And I appreciate her empathy, and I certainly respect her moral authority. I mean, she holds that to make the case. But why are we only benefiting the immunocompromised? According to NIH, Omicron can cycle back and reinfect you every 6 months, regardless of your vaccination status. If that's true, and Evusheld is effective, why not more broadly make that available as an alternative? And if the monoclonal only takes 30 minutes and it can regenerate and take somebody that's vulnerable and in one day they can be almost cured, why not have the monoclonal available for all when they get infected? You know, the U.S. government has spent crazy money, unfathomable money, trillions of dollars to fight COVID. With more honesty and broader transparency, the monoclonal that works would be made available everywhere. The market would demand it. You know, I got Omicron last month. I was fortunate. I definitely had it, but it only had minor symptoms. But if the monoclonal was available, I would have certainly taken it. I mean, if I could, I would have even paid for it. I mean, who wouldn't want to fight off the known problem with Omicron with an effective solution that bypasses your gastrointestinal system? It just goes right to the place in your body where we can make best use of it. And it lasts. Right now, the Glaxo monoclonal is not even available to private entities for resale. The government bogs it down under its emergency use authorization. So you can't get it from a private entity, even if you want to pay for it, with your own money. And you can't get it from the distribution channels that the government doles out because the U.S. government isn't willing to make the miracle treatment available on a more broad basis, like it could. The government made a vaccine available to everyone because it could. Why doesn't it make a miracle treatment available to everyone? Let's step back. If we had approached COVID back in March 2020, the way many of us were imploring, we wouldn't have had this problem. When you start with freedom, the government is merely the servant of the people. When it serves, it makes information and various expertise available as it becomes available. It does not put itself in the position of know-it-all because it doesn't know it all. But it can use its power to ensure transparent information is made available, and it can use its power to grease the skids for faster approvals and broader distribution. If it serves, it equips. And when people are equipped, they'll find what's best for them. And pharmaceutical companies, if fairly competed with and if they're being fully transparent, would result in a wide distribution of what's best at a lower cost, and it would have even higher quality. You'd have the next rendition of that monoclonal for the next variant already underway. Now, Sally's a smart intellectual, and she was saved by her ability to tap into a life-saving miracle monoclonal, and I'm really glad she was. But it's time the government, big media, big tech, big corporations serve the masses and return to freedom. No more of this pious, sanctimonious censorship. Serve with humility. Let all the information get out there broadly. The effect of monoclonal and Evusheld, those should be available to everyone who wants them. And they could be. The U.S. government has to return to its rightful place. Quit overreaching. Quit over-controlling. Allow people to return to normal and allow all the treatments to be openly discussed and promulgated. To your freedom. God bless you.
Hi, I'm David Farah. Thank you for listening to my dad's podcast, The Barry Farah Show, Culture Shift. Click subscribe now to be sure you don't miss an episode. Share this podcast with your friends on social media and give The Barry Farah Show your 5-star rating. See you next time.